Zurück im Labor für Entrepreneurship. This time we have two guests from a more English background, so to say. So I say hello to Ines Robbers and Dr. Heather. Is it pronunciation is right?
Actually, Heather.
Heather.
Heather
Cameron.
Most
Cameron.
Yes.
Cameron. Are you a relative of Julia Cameron? That's a book that I quite often recommend to my students. Julia Cameron.
No, she's not
about
that I know.
Creativity and turn creativity into entrepreneurial skills, something like that.
Well, not a family resemblance, but obviously we're thinking in the same directions.
Maybe Cameron is a more familiar name, not to our Germans like me, but to you. Anyway, so you created something that is called Creare. Mm-hmm. Is it? You pronounce it in German, Creare.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something, maybe you explain to us. What is it helpful for potential entrepreneurs?
Right, so we call it an initiative, a didactical initiative for more entrepreneurial activity and innovation at universities. At this point of time in Berlin, so we focus on universities in Berlin. And we target students, particularly from the humanities and social sciences, because we find that this is a group that gets kind of excluded by the traditional business seminars. And we find that there's a lot of entrepreneurial potential in this target group. And our goal then is to basically sensitize these students for this career alternative of becoming an entrepreneur. We want to motivate them, we want to mobilize them to set up their own businesses, and we want to equip them, obviously, with the key competencies to become a successful entrepreneur. And one thing that is special about our program is that we have a wider approach of entrepreneurship, so we don't really think of entrepreneurship as founding yet another coffee shop around the corner, or you know, the fruit store that your father has anyway. But we include the concept of entrepreneurship, so be an entrepreneur inside a company, which is, I think, interesting for students, because right after university, you're not maybe not as you don't have the brain, you don't have the courage to set up your own business right away, and maybe you don't even have an idea. So going into a business, going into a company, and be entrepreneurial in this framework is an interesting way. And the other concept is then obviously social entrepreneurship, because one of our main concerns is that we want to include more women. That's why we call ourselves also Gründerinnenzeit, as the name of the initiative.
It excludes men, or just
not at all,
it encourages
at all.
Women?
No, we want the boys, but we only want 50%.
Not more than 50%.
Not more, yes.
Well, we're trying to work against this idea that you have to be, with all due respect to our other colleagues at the Technical University of Berlin, that you're supposed to be like an engineer in order to get anybody's attention in terms of starting a new business. And while Ines actually ran a successful business, working with like new economy and new media themes, a lot of people are running successful initiatives which have absolutely nothing to do with nanotechnology. And so why don't we try and create programs and opportunities for them as well? And to have the students who have the good ideas, which I think we all agree is really the kernel of success as an entrepreneur, to have the ideas and the motivation to make something happen, how do we make sure that they understand that they're actually being spoken to through entrepreneurial education? And that's by saying, hey, all of the women who are involved, who have great ideas, who perhaps see themselves as wanting to do something more social or be more involved in their neighborhoods, well, if you're starting something, then you're an entrepreneur and you should come talk to us. Or other people, perhaps, who, we're talking just about the North American experience, a lot of the why immigration there and integration, which here is such an important theme, why that's worked well as it has or not well, that could be discussed in Canada and the States, is because people have taken an economic interest in their communities as entrepreneurs. And so how do we get all of the other people, like the Canadians in Berlin and the Turkish people and everybody else, to see themselves as having a stake in becoming entrepreneurs? And so by calling it Gründerinsight, of course we want to attract the women, but we're also trying to say we're open to a wider definition of who can benefit from entrepreneurial education and getting them to take part and to see themselves in a future that in that way.
And there's another point, that is, you do not so much emphasize on business administration skills and knowledge,
no.
But you emphasize on a more broader range of ideas, things like that. That's very familiar to me, because we emphasize the same thing here.
We actually focus on five different perspectives. One is around the personality of the entrepreneur, which we call the profil perspective. And the second one then is around innovation ideas, which is to do with the original business idea and the process where you actually then turn your idea into a solid business model. So that's the second perspective. The third then is the actual practical activity of setting up a business, which obviously then also includes writing a business plan, doing some market research, find some test customers, test your product with them. And the fourth perspective is challenges, very important perspective, where we also bring in a lot of experienced entrepreneurs. And the last one is then around support and networking. So these five perspectives we look at.
Mm-hmm. Before we go to your concept, how to make people interested in entrepreneurship, I would like to know, how do people get to what you call a solid business model? What are the steps to get there?
Joyce, maybe before I answer that question, just in terms of our fifth model around challenges, we're looking for people who are brave enough to talk about what they would never do again in terms of starting their business. We have lots of people who come and talk about, my business is great and I'm rich, or I've just got a great professorship. But we also need to have some people who are like, oh, did I screw up? So please come talk to us in the break, because we're looking for some people who can give us some examples about what not to do, because that's just as important as what to do. But in terms of a good business plan, I think what's and putting your business on a solid footing, first of all, and something that we've also seen reinforced by what you've been talking about with your guests, is that you need to know why you're doing it, and you need to have an excellent idea. And that sort of excellent idea you don't necessarily get in a dream, but what you get in a dream you need to refine through talking with people, through doing the right sort of research, by seeing what your competitors do, and understand where your money is going to come from, where your clients are, and what you're doing differently. And I think if you can have an appreciation of what you do that other people can't do, or what you can do at least faster, what other people could do, but you do it faster, if you understand what particularly you have to offer, and that you're prepared to be very open-minded as to, and creative as to, who then benefits from that, that's the key piece that needs to be there. Because once you have that, then you can bring in the other people who have the other expertise to advise you, how do I have then applicable cash flow? How can I make sure that if this is my idea's plan, that I have the different pieces in place in order to make use of these opportunities? I can excite other people and get other people to invest in my idea, either with their time or with their money, to help me with a marketing plan. I can help them, they'll help me, you know, find factory facilities I need in China, whatever it happens to be. If I've got a good idea and I've convinced myself and been able to understand what the next steps are, I'll be able to pull good people to me. And so that's part of what we're trying to do, is make sure people have got that sort of stability and that sort of understanding of that work that they need to do, and then they'll sort of glow and they bring people to them. As we know with other successful entrepreneurs that we've met, they one of the skills that they have is able to motivate those around them.
As I understand it, or with my words, it would be that you have a market orientation. You have to study the market, understand your customers, but you have to use your own personality or your own inclinations, what you would like to do, and that has to come to a kind of fit.
You need passion. You need to have passion in order to do the amount of work you need to do to
make
something like this success.
Get the energy.
Definitely. And you need to have things get moved out of your way. And that's part of what we're trying to do with this project, is to say, don't be, especially in Germany, don't be embarrassed that you have passion for something. Don't be embarrassed that you want to be really good at something. You know, come, be with a group of people who are excited about what we're doing, who are doing something new, learn from that, and then realize it's a lot of hard work. But if you don't have that passion, then good luck. You know, you're not, then please go take that job at Siemens, because you're not going to be able to be successful on the long term working for yourself.
Yeah,
right?
If
leading a team.
If the motivation is money only, would be not enough, would be not sustainable, to get the energy and move the blocks somewhere else. Yeah.
In addition to passion, we very much want to stress the point that you have to have a long breath, and that it might take months, it might take years to have a solid business model, and that's also why we don't offer a two-day seminar on that, but that we actually go into university and offer a whole semester long, a course that takes one semester, where they can actually really engage with the idea and test it, let go of it, look at it again from another perspective, so that they get to feel what it actually means to be entrepreneurially active, that it is a lot of hard work.
So emphasizing on passion and your own personality and wishes helps to avoid the trap to get too much too early into business administration knowledge education.
We don't want it to sound too esoteric though, right? Like, I'm running a successful consulting business. Ines is doing her PhD also in entrepreneurial education. We've both been working as strategic advisors to many large companies, as well as my project before this was around coaching startups out of the technical university. You have to know a few things. It's not going to be good enough for you just to be really passionate about an idea. But I think that's one of the things that people need to understand, that you have to have that first, and then once you have that, once you've sort of refined that feeling that you have and understand that desire to want to be more independent in terms of your career choices, then we can help hook you up, as one of the points in a saying about the networking point, you know, we can help you understand you don't have to do it all yourself, right? Entrepreneurial people often think they have to do it all themselves, but they don't. A lot they have to do themselves, but one of the key skills is to be able to, again, motivate people to work with you. So some of it they'll have to learn themselves, and then afterwards, once some of those key skills are there, how do they bring other people in to help provide that extra expertise? But there is part of what we're trying to do here with Crayara is also realize there's a lot of programs. There's a lot of great entrepreneurial education programs. There's a lot of really bad ones, right? But what we want to try and do is be one of those sort of first stop addresses. We get the people, we help them understand that what they're trying to do is a great idea. We get them to the point where we can then hand them off to some of our colleagues, like in the Gründungsinitiative at the TU, or some of the other programs at the other universities, at the free universities, a lot of great work that you're doing and other colleagues, you know, to say, okay, you've got to this point, now we'll let you move it along, rather than thinking, of course, we have to rebuild everything that's existed. You know, we found our market niche, and we're going to exploit that space and then see how this grows organically, and hopefully we'll see other opportunities for us to bring this to different parts of the market.
A last question before we go to Kriyave. You founded and directed an institution called Box Girls. What is
yes.
that? Is it Boxing Girls? Or?
Oh, yes, you bet. Part of what we were talking about, yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't bring that as a visual for you, Professor Falchi. But we run one of our first cooperations was to start a social project in Berlin-Kreuzberg, where there's not a lot of offerings for girls who want to do sport. And because a lot of the girls there come from, you know, different communities. Like, I'm Canadian, but there's a lot of people there from Sweden, there's a lot of people from Turkey, there's a lot of people from Eastern European countries. And they weren't really offered a lot of options as to what sort of sports would be allowed. I'm actually a very enthusiastic believer in amateur boxing. No need to worry. I think the people who are the amateur boxers, the people who can defend themselves, I think are the people you have to least worry about. You have to worry more about the rowdy people. But what a wonderful way it was for me to keep fit doing my PhD and everything else. And I thought, well, let's do a program. So we came up with, we'd already started a successful women's fitness club. And the women in this club said, well, let's do something for the neighborhood. Let's do something for the girls who are here. And because when you box, you actually wear a lot of clothes. And because it's seen as a sport, which is important, you know, for women to be able to protect their honor and to be able to protect themselves if need be, it was actually then quite a success in terms of being able to attract some of the girls from more conservative households. And so our second goal of being able to have an integrative option where German girls and Canadian girls and Turkish girls could all work together, which it doesn't actually happen very often, we're able to do it. And because it was really good. And then we actually got funding from the German Children and Youth Foundation as part of their Mädchenstärken program. And then also got the attention of the Bundesministerium des Inneres, who then chose us, this really tiny little initiative of Kreuzberg, to be part of the UN Year of Sport and Physical Education in 2005. which then led to us starting a sister project in Kenya. So this is what I mean. It's about starting ideas. It's about having a small idea, having the passion, getting people excited about it, and then having it grow. And so now part, a lot of my, you know, this all works, and then a lot of my consulting work, which, you know, is nicely paid, is also because of our successes also running social projects and to help other people who want to do that sort of work do it. So we get the chance to travel a lot through Africa and in Europe, showing people how to start up projects which address girls and get girls to be more active in their communities, which is, again, something you want to see.
So now let's explain about your latest brainchild. What is it?
Well, very practically seen, it is a it's a event, it's an initiative we offered at the Humboldt University and at the Alessandro Fachhochschule starting coming winter semester. And we start off with a very normal block seminar, which is around motivating, where we want to inspire the students for new ideas, open them up, and then we introduce these five perspectives every second week. We have a so-called kickoff event where we invite entrepreneurs or experts of the entrepreneurship scene. I'll give you an example for the profile event, the kickoff for profile. We have something in mind like bringing both groups of both universities together, maybe in a cafe or somewhere, you know, where you can communicate, where it's a communicative atmosphere. And the task for the students is then to introduce themselves to each other, to present their own ideas to them, so they get so they practice to present themselves in front of others, because we want to simulate this very important situation that you have after a conference, for instance, or after a fair, where you get to meet the important people, where you get to change your business cards, where you actually have to perform as an entrepreneur, where you have to be ready to convince other people of yourself and the idea. That's what we want them to practice. And we then also invite entrepreneurs from Berlin who are a bit more experienced and have done that a lot of times before, mix them under these students so they don't actually realize that they get to talk to experienced entrepreneurs, and by that also learn how experienced entrepreneurs present themselves. And in the end, we have obviously, you know, the discussion where everyone can ask them questions. So that's one of our ideas for such a kickoff event.
We keep saying we, but we should actually, you asked about the Splendid Academy.
Yeah.
This is, we're sort of two-thirds or two halves. Our colleague Sebastian's also in the audience. But Bettina Ritter-Maciek is one of the leaders of the Splendid Academy. Maybe you can just say something about some of her, I know she's got a few new clients. I'm not sure what her client list is at the moment.
I'm not so familiar with client lists. I think they're very important companies, but she's a very experienced trainer, and that's one of our USPs, if you like, that we actually really work with very experienced, high-profile trainers that have a lot of didactical experience. And she's basically also conceptualizing the whole program together with me and is then teaching the seminars.
So that's when you're asking, what we've got three entrepreneurial women, who are either running their own companies or have stopped to do their PhDs, who are combining in this form of having all these different types of blocks. So you have like regular block seminars, you have these sort of intensive kickoff events, which are sort of more like, in some ways, like networking opportunities, but also opportunities for us to bring people from business and from the Senat Verwaltung, and also social entrepreneurs, people running social projects and the like, bringing them together, having these sort of like intensive exchanges, but then also with the idea that it's a lot of practical work, right? It's a lot about thinking about what you're about, but it's also about doing, by doing specific exercises, actually getting over some of the fear, getting over some of the, I'm not sure what it actually means to be an entrepreneur, and in that way it's different than, again, Bebe L with a big book and let's all look at it on paper, but they're actually trying to do things. And that's where a lot of the didactical innovation's coming from Ines's concept with Bettina, and where we're really excited about being able to offer it to students and to others later, but right now, initially in this pilot phase, just to students.
Now, we learned a lot about the theory of the project. Maybe you can give us some examples how it works practically.
Before we started the concept, obviously, we did a lot of interviews with students, and we ran a poll, and what we found out is that the questions are very much the same, but obviously the answers differ. So what we do is we don't offer standard answers, but we want students to find their own answers to questions. And we've brought them, didn't have we? So yeah. we might actually present them to you.
Yeah, we actually have Crayara Unplugged, or the analog version, because we have a very sexy website that I would recommend all of you take a look at, of course, at their GrunderInsight.net, where all of these, because what we were talking about, finding your passion, finding the motivation, getting rid of all the extra stuff, we have a set of structured questions. So while we have Professor Fulton here under running camera, we're going to make him ask some questions, but perhaps, Sebastian, you can hand out some of the questions to people here in the audience, and then later on when we get to the participative part, we can have a little bit more fun with everybody. But we were told we weren't allowed to get started with you right away, but instead that we would give a presentation, but then hopefully afterwards, because the whole idea behind the work that we do is for it to be participative and for people to think along. But right now, Herr Professor, wenn Sie so nett sein könnte, vielleicht eins antasten, wo Sie anfangen wollen. Yeah, okay, good.
So if I don't know the answer, please help me.
So the question is, wie reagiere ich auf Imitatoren und Konkurrenz?
How do I react to people who copy my idea and my, oh goodness, competition? Okay, so
I have a slide which says this is the second important thing after you have a really a big idea that gives you a certain advantage, a recognizable advantage in the market, whether it be the price or the quality of the product. Mm-hmm. So imitations is a big problem. Mm-hmm. The moment your concept is a success, imitators will come in. So what I would say is, you have a few parameters to react. One is economies of scale. If you are the first mover, you get into economies of scale that makes it more difficult for imitators to get into the plus column of the numbers. Mm-hmm. Second is, choose a good name. If you are the first one who created the concept, you should try hard to get a name that really makes sure that you are recognized as the one who was the principal thinker ahead of the time. Third is, go as fast as possible. Try to conquer the market as fast as possible and put your footprints or Duftmarken, don't know the English name for that, so that it makes, like in the worlds of animals, it makes it more difficult for others.
Mm-hmm.
Mark your territory, yes. So this would be three strategies. There are a number of possibilities that you can try to make your potential imitators workers for your company in a way that you offer your concept to them.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a chance to make money with your concept.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of trying to counteract your concept.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a number of strategies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really very important point that should be part of the business model, not just thinking about it when the first imitator comes across.
And that's exactly the point, right, is that we have got a selection of all of these sorts of questions which will come up at one point or another, and we help people go through them in a structured way. And by doing that then evolves into their business plan and into their strategic thinking.
And who is the poor animal that always has to answer the questions?
Well, the people
you
writing
yourself
the business,
or the people?
Of course.
The people that are in the business already.
No, the people who are creating the business. Is to say, this will happen to you.
Yes.
You will have people imitating you. You will have competition. How do you deal with that? And to sensitize them to some of the things that are coming in the future. Do we have time for another question? Should we quiz them some more?
Was muss ich als Entrepreneur wissen und was nicht? Und was muss ich können und was nicht?
Not so much convinced that it's a good direction to to ask such a question. I would say, forget about a canon curriculum of knowledge. Basically, it's to find out what could be improved, what could be changed in a better way. Is there something I want to go for? Is there something I want to shoot for? A guy Kawasaki says, go for the course. Mm-hmm. So not so much what do I have to learn. I do not believe in that. What my own experience is, when I started the tea business, I was not a tea drinker. I didn't know practically anything about tea. But I learned quite quickly. I never attended a course at a university or somewhere to learn about tea. But the moment I was sure that it will be tea, my eyes were opened by itself, and suddenly I recognized when I walked the street there's a tea shop, and I went there. Or I went to a friend's kitchen, and of course I looked, what is a tea? What is the prices? What areas do they come from? And so on. So you get focused. The moment...
Curiosity.
It's not about teaching and learning. I think that is basically a discouraging concept to say before you become an entrepreneur, you have to study bookkeeping, you have to study marketing, financing, managing people, creating team spirit. I could name a lot of headlines what you have to do. And my experience is it discourages people, first of all. Mm-hmm. It demotivates them and it gets them on a wrong track. It's not about learning, it's about getting into the passion, getting into the right track, and things will come, things will fall in place. It's not so much to choose what I have to learn. And if you have to learn something, you do it easily with Wikipedia or anything, or you ask friends. It falls in place. It's not about teaching.
Mm. Well, that's great that you're saying that. We were actually hoping that you would say that.
It's kind of a trick question.
it's good that we have it on camera, and maybe when we could use it for our website, that would be really great, because we go around with our camera and film entrepreneurs and ask them these questions. And also by actually asking students such a question, they would probably go online, do research, and see, oh my God, I have to learn this and this and this and this. And at a certain point, they will probably find the right answer anyway. Also, we are moderating this process. So, in a way, we kind of direct them in the direction of what you've just said. Mm-hmm. So, it would be great if we could have that on the website. Can I give you another short practical example of what we also have in mind? Because obviously, we are doing a lot of different methods. So, one very important thing is the elevator pitch, obviously. You have to be able to explain your ideas in a few sentences. And what you normally do is, what do you say, Bierdeckel? What is it in English?
Everybody familiar with the term elevator pitch? Yes.
Being able to put across your ideas in about 49 seconds as it takes to get up 10 floors in an elevator.
Or basically the amount of space you have on a Bierdeckel, whatever the name is in English. I don't know.
On a beer mat.
Beer mat. Right, so what we did is we designed a Bierdeckel, a beer mat, and on the one side is a lines for the idea, and we used this as a method in our seminar, and on the other side is,
our branding, or the branding,
our
potential
of our
sponsor.
So we want to, this way, also bring in companies, so we actually get sponsored by a brewery here in Berlin to produce this, and we believe that obviously it is much more... interesting, it's much more fun to actually have a real beer mat and put your ideas on it in a seminar than, you know, sitting there all by yourself, have a white piece of paper. And so that's kind of how we work.
Lots of crazy ideas. But we're hoping that people who are watching us on the web, and I know a lot of you aren't students but are actually obviously running your businesses, but if you know people who are interested in perhaps taking part in this, we're going to go live with the first sessions in the fall, starting in October. And then otherwise, though, we're also finding a lot of people who are interested who aren't officially affiliated with the university, and we're collecting those names as well. So we'll be distributing some postcards later on. If you're interested, you can write onto the website and give us your information, and then we'll be inviting people to different events linking to this, as well as offering seminars for people who aren't affiliated with the universities later if we get enough interest. And we're already getting quite a lot of interest, so I think we'll be doing it.
not quite sure whether I understood. That basically, you work with such kind of questions, and you
yes.
put it on people who have run a company already,
no,
or want
students.
To run,
we
just start
students.
To. Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. And that's the basic concept, to put questions, put the right questions. Or
and to bring in experts.
Yeah.
It's Innes didn't get a chance to go through all of the pieces of it, but part of it's just basic learning skills, and also part of it's then also through times when they're not in the block seminar, using the website to go through different questions and go through a structured thinking process and some exercises, and then also meeting up with people who have successfully done projects and having them learn from those pieces. And then
yeah, basically what we provide is a variety of formats, because it lasts a whole semester, and we've been looking at other training formats, and we basically took everything that seemed good to us.
Verschiedene Formate, verschiedene
yes.
Ansätze.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
yeah.
Different methods, different formats, such as the traditional seminar, the block seminar, such as our kickoff events, 5 of them. We actually are very happy and lucky that Harvey Graf is coming, who's also here, and he will talk to he will, being controversial and provocative, he will definitely be a very interesting interview partner also for the students. So this is where we bring our students together with the entrepreneurs, and then we have these practical training online sessions, but we steer through an online platform.
That I would like to understand more, because online usually is like a pipeline where you push through some knowledge.
How do you use it? Obviously, the internet is
a
medium that requires a lot of self-initiative, and that is something that you need as an entrepreneur. So we find that the internet is a very good learning medium, because it requires of you to be self-initiative, to be self-motivated. And we're making use of this. We provide the students structure, basically our questions that are divided into these 5 perspectives. And they work their way through. So depending on what their interests are, what they think they need to know more about, they choose a particular question and work on it. And we offer them, on the one hand, a very specific, what we call Lehrauftrag, a task, if you like, a task.
It's a practical task or assignment that they're
yes.
completing.
And then, on the other hand, we provide them with learning materials, and we advise them as little trainers.
Exercises.
I can give you an example, which is, for instance, the question of demotivation. What can demotivate me? What motivates me? Very important in the perspective of challenges, when you know nobody believes in your idea, and the task then is to be open in your everyday life, and you know, just find out what actually motivates me, what demotivates me, and think what could motivate or demotivate you when you set up a business, and create your top 5. And have kind of a table, and we provide them with a form where they can type this in. And then they should discuss it together with someone else, a learning partner, so we have learning partnerships, and develop strategies, what to do when there is this kind of demotivating situation. So it's a little bit difficult, obviously, to describe this platform when you don't actually have the beamer, but it works.
Yeah. I thought it could be helpful if we do it a little bit with our audience here.
Mm-hmm.
So we say goodbye to our participants in the internet, and now it's sometimes a disadvantage if you only look in the internet, you should be here. So we try your, what you call, didactical initiative, and what you also say is a Lernspiel, but you are not so happy with that expression.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds at least a little bit promising. That's not so boring when you call it a game. Let's start a little bit with our participants before we go into the more informal part of the evening.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks for our participants here.